It would help if I turned on my mic.
Hi.
Yeah, I had my mic
on. Oh, yeah.
I was talking, but nothing was coming out because...
What's a podcast?
Yeah, if you don't turn on the mic, nobody's going to hear you. Well,
Could you imagine if we just like did a show and like...
Never turned on the
mic. Just silent the whole time.
I did a show like that once.
I never actually listened to our show so they could all be silence for all I know.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's why people like it.
So. I haven't listened in a while. Maybe it's just white noise. I don't know. I used to breeze through them on like triple
Matt's
speed.
Matt's here.
Hello.
I have a delay. Sorry.
Oh, that's why. You're getting lag. I'm like, I think we're lagging. It's that Canadian internet exchange.
Dag nabbit.
The conversion.
Matt.
The conversion rate.
Yeah.
It's the flannel conversion rate.
Actually, I am in fact wearing flannel right now, red and black flannel.
Oh, God.
Of course.
Top and bottoms, I shit you not.
Don't you have to?
Yeah, they hand them out at tax time.
Tax time.
I don't know.
Everybody gets their flannel allotment at tax time.
That's right. It comes with your medical card.
Yeah, your medical card, flannel, and maple syrup.
That's right.
And a club for your seals.
That's exactly what happened. And directions on how to build an igloo.
Of course.
Of course. Okay. Am I lagging really badly? Should I like
maybe
do
like
something
a few,
technical?
Might
to
be
change
a,
it?
Nah, I don't know. Maybe you'll catch up. Or maybe you're just behind us. Maybe it's a timey-wimey thing.
I am, in fact, 3 hours behind you.
It sounds like you're not lagging as much because you're actually answering me within like half a second.
It's true.
as opposed to 4 seconds later.
Although I am technically 3 hours behind.
That is true.
This is pretty impressive if I'm only a second behind.
And many decades also.
And many decades, yeah. What?
Aww.
Groove Shark, yeah!
Groove okay, Shark.
Fuck you guys and you're in your region.
Oh, man.
Okay. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little sick, but, you know, it does seem to be getting better. Hopefully.
It's the Booger Fest.
Yeah.
The Booger Festival. Well, it's really nice to have you back here and hear your charming, handsome radio voice again.
Yep. Well, Rob pretty much requested it last time, so... Here it is.
Done and done.
Sick. Gosh.
You got sick on purpose to have an even deeper voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like that episode of that episode of Friends where Phoebe was sick and she was singing in the cafe. And then Rachel got sick. Or no, it was Monica got sick and stole her sexy voice.
Yeah.
I remember that because I'm old.
Yeah, I remember that as well.
It's because you're also old.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm young at heart, though.
All right. So everybody's good?
Mm-hmm.
How's your thumb, Rob?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's all right. It is healing. About another 2 weeks, I should be good to go. And the casts and the pins come off and out. So
cool.
I'm excited. And then, it's a really kind of a tight schedule because I get them out on the 6th of May and then I have a gig on the 17th of May. So I have to whip that thumb back into shape pretty quickly. And yeah, so it's going to be interesting. But I'm going to get it done. I'm going to do it.
Well, hopefully so. But don't re-injure it.
No.
That would be the worst.
It should be fine. I mean, like, I don't like. It's not like the thumb is like. It's not as important as like you know my other fingers. So
yeah, But are your finger? Are you gonna have issues with your fingers just because of not using them as much?
No, I mean my
fingers. Are you still pretty much?
My fingers have been free, so those are good. I just got to be able to like hold something for once.
Yeah, you'll actually have the entire hand you'll be able to use.
Do you have any ideas what you might start with? Oh, sorry, that's a personal question. Not a grown up. I am not a grown up. Nope.
Speaking of holding things in your hands, I was in Disney.
What were you holding in your hands in Disney?
The first night, I wish it was a knife that I could put in this guy's head.
Uh-oh.
But other than that, it was a terrific fun time as usual. Unfortunately, we had to drive this time.
How come?
Because flights around Easter were like $8 million.
Uh-huh.
So we had to take the 18-hour trek each way in the car.
Oh.
We did it straight through. We survived. It was not optimal, but we all survived. But I did go, and I went on the Carousel of Progress for its 50th anniversary.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I got to ride that on the date of the 50th anniversary, so that was pretty fun. Ooh. For those of you who don't know, it's probably what most people consider the most boring ride in Disney. But I love it, so I'm not...
I thought it fascinating. I love the depiction of the future.
Yeah. The end, which was updated... God, it had to be when I was in my teens. It was updated, or early 20s, and it is... bonkers.
Yeah, but it's funny how some things are like way off, but some things are like not that far from.
Well, yeah, what happened was they did update the TV more recently. The TV was updated within the last few years, because there used to be some like projection TV in there. The kitchen appliances and stuff have not really been updated in about 15 years.
No, but I, you know what though?
But
I
the voice activation is pretty damn close.
That's what I'm saying. I think that kind of stuff is like kind of starting to filter in.
Yeah.
Into like wearables and stuff, and then filter into like, you know, internet connected kitchen utensils and stuff.
Absolutely. So. That kind of is weird how it's basically like Siri for your oven. Is what kind she of, set
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Or I mean, whatever.
It works just as good as Siri.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Actually, that is weird. Now that you mention it, the voice activation is one of the things that kind of came true. Yeah, obviously, when that section, the final scene there, was put together, virtual reality was big. You know, we had the big
virtual. But that's coming back too.
Well, I'll believe that when I see it.
Well, all right, it's trying to come back.
Yeah, a lot of shit's trying to come back. That doesn't mean it's a good idea. I just think it's one of those things.
It's going to work this time.
Yeah, it's one of those things that seems like a good idea, but probably isn't. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it would be cool to do that, but maybe it's not a mass market kind of thing.
No, probably not mass market.
And grandma only scored 9 or whatever. She scored 1,000 points or whatever. Yeah, no, but I love that ride. It's quaint. It's old school. Hasn't changed in a decade and a half.
It's kind of historic, really.
Yeah, it's like... It's from the original. It's from the New York World's Fair in 64. Yeah. That and Small World, which is awful, horrendous.
Yeah, oh, no, I don't even ride that when I go to Disney.
No, I rode it a couple times because I really had no choice.
And it's becoming a movie, right?
Oh,
my God.
No, I think it's actually a cartoon it's going to be, an animated series. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm not sure.
Why would they do that?
Don't know, actually.
They're running out of ideas, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I guess you could really do whatever the hell you want with it because all you're doing is just getting kids of different backgrounds and sticking them on a show. I mean, what does it really have? It really has no other.
Yeah.
They can pretty much run with it.
Let them be on teams and they have to kill each other.
Yeah, I mean, they can pretty much run wherever they want with it. So, yeah. Yeah, so we did that, which is, we did that a bunch of times. But, I mean, we never waited in line for it, you know. It was one of those things where when it was open, we ran through it. And, Other than that, you know, the normal Epcot. Connor doesn't like, he's not big on like thrill type rides. He's like, we rode what many people will know it as Tomorrowland Transportation Authority, what I will call Midway People Mover. We rode that about 40 times because he likes that ride, and that's actually one of my favorites also.
I like that one too.
Yeah, it's because it's just relaxing. You just ride along.
It's, you know what it says after walking around all day and just then you just get to sit down for a little while?
You're just like, ah.
It's a nice break.
Yeah, he's into the – he's like a big Spaceship Earth fan, so we did that a bunch, which I like Spaceship Earth, so I'm like, okay, we'll do Spaceship Earth.
Did they update that? Because when I was there last, they were closing it for
– it may have just been their, you know, normal refurbishment stuff, just like, you know. Okay. Yeah. There was nothing different about it. It was still the same. Right. I still miss Jeremy Irons. I enjoyed the Jeremy Irons version. I think of the Walter Cronkite, Jeremy Irons, Judi Dench, I believe is who does it now, right?
Yeah.
Of the three, I think Jeremy Irons was my favorite.
I don't know if I remember.
He had like a gravity to him, you know, a little smarmy gravity too. And, and it was the Flower and Garden Festival in Epcot, which was pretty cool. They had a few.
I would have enjoyed that.
Yeah, they do a few food booths as well, kind of like Food and Wine, but not as extensive in that area. But it was really nice, flower wise, and all that.
Sweet.
Cool. So that was pretty cool. Other than that, just, you know, normal old Disney stuff. Had an asshole family day one.
Oh.
It's always an asshole family.
Yeah, they were the worst. All four of them. I hope they all got diarrhea and had to fly home with it. I hate them all. So we got there, I don't know, sometime in the afternoon after driving all night and being up all day the day before. So we were kind of running on fumes. And we went to Spaceship Earth because we went to Epcot that day. And it was like the last thing we were doing before we left to go back to the room to chill out. So kind of like, you know, that like energy game when you get off of Spaceship Earth, the slider things where you got to build the city with energy balls or whatever the hell they are.
Yeah.
They're like sticks. You slide stuff across the floor like hockey or something. anyway, he likes playing that. So it's like 5 minutes a game. So we're waiting for, there's a set of people playing who just started playing and there's like three things of them. But, he was waiting at Walmart. There was a set of people playing, another two kids in line. And he was behind those two kids. Like, randomly out of nowhere after he was the next in line. You know, he was kind of wandering around the entrance. But, you know, you're standing in that area. Everybody knows what you're doing. There's no, like, you know. Yeah.
It's your only possible
partitioned off line. Yeah, we weren't just standing there for our fucking health. So, like, this little girl's in front of him. And, like, I'm like, all right. They're not. I am not waiting another 5 minutes because I'm exhausted and really angry right now. Grumpy and you're not going to jump in front of him. So I'm starting to get loud. And Renee's like, stop. I'm like, this son of a bitch is letting his kids get. The motherfucker didn't even say anything to his kids. And he knew that Connor was there first. And Connor's very timid. Right. So he let him go. The little girl says, oh, we were here first anyway. I'm like,
so what you're saying is assholes raise assholes?
What I'm saying is these disgusting motherfucking parents raised disgusting motherfucking kids. And he looked like a fucking pedophile anyway with his mustache. I took a picture of him. If you would like to see my Instagram, you can see pedophile father fuckhead on my Instagram. I believe that's how it's hashtagged. I'm not sure.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to take – I was incensed, but I was incredibly angry because I was tired anyway. So that probably made it worse. But I was like, how are you raising your children to just be disgusting people like you?
Yeah.
I mean, how inconsiderate can you possibly be to jump in front of a six-year-old for a game?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of people are you? I was like – but other than that, really, we didn't really encounter too many weirdos. It was odd. there was a low scooter quotient, and other than that, we really didn't you know, we didn't come across any crazy behavior or anything, which was good. I mean, because it was really crowded, and you would figure it would be a lot of nonsense, but there really wasn't. It was other than the pedophile man and his family.
So no Escape from Tomorrow like scenarios where you just go insane at the.
I felt like I was going insane possibly that evening, but once I got sleep, no. No, nothing awful. It was, and I don't recall any other, which is odd because you figure over 5 days with that many people, you would run into other idiots somewhere along the way. And really, no, it was actually pretty uneventful in that kind of way, which I was like, wow, something weird going on here.
Sweet. So, people acting like humans.
Yeah, and you know, the low scooter quotient was helpful because it was easier to walk around. So.
Yes. And the four acrosses, were there lots of them?
Four acrosses, what's that?
You know, the people walk four across.
There's like, always lots of them.
And they mosey.
Worse than them is double stroller people.
Oh, yeah.
Double strollers are the worst.
Yeah, double stroller people are the worst. I think Renee had an issue where she was looking for my brother just had a he didn't have a baby. His wife had a baby. That would be weird if he had a baby. So she was looking
really cool.
Yeah, so she was looking for a wow, Rob, you weren't even following me on Instagram.
No, apparently
that is
not.
Fucking pathetic. All right.
God, I don't know how I missed that.
So she was looking for a little like onesie or some shit like that. This dude has the double stroller parked in front of the stuff.
Excellent.
And he's standing there just kind of looking around. Like, he can, and she's like, you know, you're that thing where you want to let people know that you want something without saying anything, or you're like kind of like in the area, like, oh, you know, just wait. The dude never moved.
Nice.
He just left the stroller parked there. I'm like, Jesus Christ. You got to be kidding me.
That guy does look like a pedophile.
Yeah, that guy with the stash. You like that? That is. Yeah. And that's a little blurry, but he's definitely got.
Yeah, no, you can tell.
He's got a type going on. He's.
What I do now, Mike, with really inconsiderate people, like people who leave their buggy in the middle of the car and they can see you coming, they don't give a shit. Bash right into their shit. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Well,
and then they go, oh, I'm sorry, because it's Canada and you're legally bound to do that.
You have to say you're sorry, yes. Well, I mean, there's always the groups of people who just stop in the middle for no apparent reason and talk, you know, when it's super crowded. I mean, that is
part. Well, my favorite are the people who walk into a really busy place, like, say, Vancouver Comic-Con, Fan Expo, perhaps, and then they stop in the door to get their bearings.
Yep.
It's like, you're not the only one coming.
Just keep moving, fuckers.
Yeah. Keep moving, fucker. Sorry, I'm eating Easter candy. I've been left alone with two bags of chocolate. And one of them will make Illyrio jealous. I have a whole bag of Cadbury's Caramel Mini Eggs. They're very good. Can you guys get them there?
I don't know.
Wait, what's Caramel Mini Eggs?
They're like little chocolate eggs with caramel in them. They're like caramel. You know, caramel chocolate bars?
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, we do have those.
We do, but in mini eggs. Yeah. You guys get
wait, but that wait, we have the we have the bigger ones that have cat, like you have like the mini ones?
Mini.
Oh, that's that's just weak.
Mm-mm. No, they're perfect size. They're really good.
Yeah.
We also have mini Easter cream eggs too. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, do you have Reese's eggs?
I don't know. I don't really eat a lot of Reese's.
Those
stuff.
Are the best.
Oh yeah, the peanut butter eggs. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Ever.
Mm. I also have a whole bag full of. Do you know what icy squares are?
No.
They're like super sweet, really melty chocolate. Like you can't even hold them in your hand because they just start melting. Whole bag of them. And a thing of gourmet jelly beans.
Huh.
My caloric intake currently is not good. I'm surrounded by damage. I'm just surrounded by it.
I'm not a big jelly bean fan.
Mm. Well, there you go. We should probably start the show. Talk about Spotlight.
We did 20 minutes ago.
I know. Yeah. I know. But you know, talk.
We figured you forgot.
No. No! And talk about the shit on the paper.
I do have to make an apology to to Gabby and Natasha and whoever else is nearby Washington, D.C. because...
Oh, you were in D.C., right?
I was. So I went... Actually, I had planned a trip with some friends to go to... they had like a small con there called Awesome Con. So like, yeah, let's try it out. Like it's smaller. It shouldn't be as crazy as like some of the bigger ones because we get kind of fed up at the big ones. We can't do anything. So we decided to check it out in D.C. and it was just... it was Easter weekend. No, it was really cool. And I always felt like they had Michonne from The Walking Dead there. And oh, Billie Piper was there actually.
Oh, cool.
That was her first like East Coast appearance.
Doesn't she have like a new project or something? She's pimping up.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Probably if she's at a con.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. But you know, it was pretty sweet. What the heck was that?
Colleen's here.
Oh, yeah.
That was me.
In the spirit of Colleen.
In the spirit of Colleen.
I was just like looking up, seeing what Billie Piper was doing so I could like add something.
I thought she was doing something. I don't know. I see her mention stuff on her Twitter, but
she's credited for something in pre-production called Penny Dreadful.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what I've seen, yeah.
I guess that must be it, because it's from this year.
Yeah, I don't know actually what it is, though.
Sounds dreadful.
But anyways, I mean, we had a pretty tight schedule. Like, I really didn't have time to really meet up with anyone. You know,
don't like anyone.
Not worth it.
No, not true. Not true at all. But I just like, yeah, honestly, it kind of slipped my mind. We were so busy and I was with other friends and I didn't want to like try to force them to, you know, go off to, you know, other places, you know.
Yeah, no, you have a group of people. Yeah.
Their whim. Yeah, it's kind of tough to like. Kind of break away, but so I do apologize because Gabby and I, we've been trying to meet up for a while, like when she comes here and it didn't work out then, and then I was there and it didn't work out there, so I do apologize, and eventually Gabby, I promise we will meet up.
Las Vegas, January 2015.
50? 2015.
We're going January. Yes,
in
remember?
35 years.
My birthday 35. That week. Oh, let's not forget. So you went to a little con, and you had an exciting time here. You've been like, have you been home? Do you remember your apartment? You've been to England. You've been to New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, I have been a lot of places. Well, unfortunately, not in all the best of circumstances. Yeah. But
no.
And that has been over 3 months since we only record once a month.
Yeah.
It may seem like 3 weeks, but it's been 3 months.
It does kind of no. But I was like realizing, I was like, I'm kind of tired on going on planes because I've been on so many freaking planes in the past like month or so, and like I'm going to Florida for a baptism like next weekend. So it's like enough already. Oh. I just want to stay home.
Sit on the couch for a weekend.
I know.
Do nothing.
Oh god, yeah. I'm still in the middle of doing the kitchen. Oh.
Wow. Stop taking on new projects. See, that's how it happens. You just don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I have to now because I ripped half of it. It's all gone. So gotta put it back.
Well, that's a problem. Yeah. That'll teach you.
Yep. So how was awesome? Was it Awesome Con manageable to get around and things like that?
Yeah, it really was. Like we went the first day we went, which is on the Friday. I was a little worried because we got there and it was so empty, and I was like, wow, like I wonder, if, like are people not going to this thing? But I guess I mean it picked up on Saturday, but still like not nearly as bad as. Like, New York Comic Con has gotten like you can actually walk around the floor and you know I think we waited about an hour for the the Denai Gurira panel, which if you were in New York Comic Con if you got there an hour before you were not getting in the room,
right?
Yeah.
You know what they did actually? What they did here, which I think they should do everywhere, and is the most fair way to do things, is they cleared rooms after each panel.
Yeah, so, I actually think that's a good idea.
Absolutely, because people are camping in panels, so like half the panels filled with people that are not interested at all in what's going on, but they're just sitting there because they want to be in something that's after it.
Yep.
So it's like it ruins it for the people that may actually
And it allows more people to see more things.
Exactly. You know, yeah. And you know, if there's something, if you have like two things like in different rooms, like back to back, you know, like, you know what, like
you have to make a choice.
Tough luck. Make a choice, you know? So I think it's way more fair. Yeah. So I like that. So we waited maybe like a little less than an hour and we got pretty decent seats. And that was probably the biggest one of the two biggest, like that, maybe Billy Piper were the two biggest Q&A panels. So, you know, we got in there without having to wait like hours on end, you know, or having to like sit through other stupid panels. So it was a lot easier to deal with, much less frustrating, you know, and it was still fun. So
that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was enjoyable.
Now, did you do Expo Vancouver FanCon thing?
Yeah, we did. This is the third year for it. So it's still a small con. It tends to skew quite young. Like, you get a lot of... Well, it also didn't help that the day that we went on Saturday was the Sailor Moon 20th anniversary tribute. So there were a lot of... Like, I promised Blaine and Dave, who came with me, that there would be, you know, sexy babes in skin tight suits they could look at. And there was like 13-year-olds in Sailor Moon outfits. Yikes. So it was, yeah, I'm like, don't look. Elijah Dushku was there. I did not see her because she wasn't signing autographs, but she was doing a panel and the guys I was with wouldn't have been willing to wait. So we didn't do a panel again this year. And I think actually we're kind of swearing it off for next year. It was funny, you know, like the sales floor, there was nothing Game of Thrones to buy. Like Dave wanted a dragon. He wanted to see if he could find a dragon. There was no Game of Thrones at all. There was no, you know, there's lots of Doctor Who. And that was pretty, you know, there wasn't a lot of stuff. It was weird. I don't know. The bronies were there, though.
Oh, God.
Weirdos. Your fandoms are fandom. I don't care. Do what you want. Whatever you do in your own fandom is your business. If you want to be a brony, that's okay,
I put bronies in the same class as furries. I wonder if they cross over at all, furry bronies.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, well, there's been that big dispute thingy that's been going on about that T-shirt that they were selling. Was it WonderCon? That said, I like my fangirls like I like my coffee. I hate coffee.
What?
Yeah, and so people were like, you know, who are we to decide who can like what fandom and who cannot like what fandom? Because a lot of women people think are fake nerds, whatever the hell that is. What does that even mean? I don't even know what that means.
You definitely shouldn't make fun of other fandoms.
No, but
you know, having said that, bronies are the worst.
Not to mention some nerd guys have issues with women.
Oh, yeah, this definitely.
This is just saying.
This is true.
Yeah.
What, you mean the issue being that women don't want anything to do with them?
No, like misogyny issues.
Yeah, misogyny.
No, I know. But, you know, if women actually wanted something to do with them, they'd probably feel differently about it. They're probably pretty horrible, hateful people.
Maybe like whoever wrote Man of Steel.
No. You watched that, did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, actually, we have another con to talk about because Matt.
Yes.
You were at a con also. You went to PAX East.
A large con.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. We got to talk about all the things Rob and I didn't do.
You did meet up with the Media Junkyard Boys again this year. That's weird.
Five years in a row. So, excellent.
Keep the tradition alive.
Yeah, just keep it going. So I went to PAX East. I only got a day pass, so I was only there for Saturday. And it was, as expected, a good time. It was a really nice day, and it was just fun to walk around. Like, I didn't really get to see a lot of games because, like, you know, long lines, and I was only there a day. I didn't want to spend a couple hours waiting in line to, you know, see a demo. Excuse me. And there was like, you know, it seems to get bigger every year, and there's like so much going on. And like they had, I think it was for the game Evolve, they had like this 30-foot monster. I took some pictures of it. If you're in the Media Junkyard Facebook group, you probably saw the pictures. And it's like this huge, like 30-foot thing. Like, I can't imagine like how, like the effort it that goes into making that kind of stuff. It was really interesting. Like, and then I went to, like, the only really games like I kind of saw were at the there's like a Kickstarter room, which is kind of the room people go to because Cards Against Humanity is there. But there was like some like indie games, like smaller games. One game that's kind of interesting called I think it was Never Ending Nightmares, and it was like this animated game where you're like you're in this nightmare and it's like all like line drawings, and then you like when you get killed you wake up from the nightmare but you're still in the nightmare. I only saw like 30 seconds of it. It was kind of interesting. And yeah, the Cards Against Humanity guys had Condoms Against Humanity, which they told people not to use because you will get pregnant if you use them.
Nice.
So that was fun. And the only game I ended up playing was a card game. I believe it was called Timeline. It was really easy to get into because so many of those card games, it just feels like you need like a half hour to explain everything, and you may understand 1 minute worth of that. But Timeline was basically this game where you have like a player will like there's a deck of cards with like all these events on them, and they put like a card down as like the starter card, and it could be like the release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And then the first player has their set of cards, and they have to figure out where on the timeline the event on their card goes. Like, did it happen before or after the initial event?
Okay.
And then the player after that decides, like, where it goes before the first event, in between the two events, or after the second event. And it gets harder as it goes along. But, it was pretty easy to learn and had a decent challenge once it got started. I really liked that. There was a lot more security this year. Can't be too surprised for that because this was the first year after, you know, what happened in Boston, you know, the marathon. Like, the marathon was like 2 weeks after last year's PAX. So there was like a huge line right around the expo center of people waiting in line. And I was like standing right next to a guy dressed as Robb Stark, but did not look anything like Robb Stark. He was like bald. But his like costume was really good, but he looked absolutely nothing like Richard Madden. And luckily for us, like they created a second entrance, so like we were right at the beginning. And yeah, it was just like bag checks and stuff like that, and I didn't have a whole lot to worry about for that. But yeah, it was a good time. Definitely look forward to next year. Hopefully, I can get a three day pass because it's too much for one day. But yeah, it was a fun time.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm just looking through your pictures here. It looks like the cosplay is amazing.
Yeah, like there was one like dressed like a bird. I'm not sure what it's from, but like it had a working beak.
Oh, neat.
It was like that's something I really love about like cosplayers, like the creativity and like the amount of time that they invest in this. Like, it's really incredible. And the Assassin's Creed guy is a character you see all the time at cons. And at one point I was like hanging out in like a Assassin's Creed guy and a Lady Loki, the one I took a picture of. Like, they were just sitting around.
Yeah, I saw that neat costume.
And then another Assassin's Creed guy came up to them and like they started like comparing notes about their costume. Yeah, so like it's fun. Like, unfortunately, like Comic-Con and stuff like that, that's well outside of my budget, but like it's fun to like have a con like PAX East where I can actually afford to go, and I can still like have a great time even, you know, without having to break the bank.
Yeah, well, that's the nice thing about Vancouver. You know, it's interesting to think that people come all this way for it, because for me, having been to San Diego, it's not really that impressive. Like, there's no panels really I'd line up for and stuff like that. I just go pretty much to buy my ticket and support the cause, right? So, what do you do? So, anyway, yeah, it's nice to not have to worry about hotels and stuff. But by the same token, it's not the same without everybody there, you know?
It's
different.
Yeah.
I heard all these little groups of people like all getting together, and they'd come over from some of them from Victoria and stuff. And you could tell they'd met online. I was like, oh, I miss my group. I miss my gang so much, you know? Not that I don't love Blaine and Dave. They're great con buddies, but they're not you guys.
Yeah, one of these days I'll like make the trek to San Diego, or maybe at least Raleigh one of those years.
The Raleigh trip's pretty good.
But why for now, the bank account. Why don't you come to Vegas for January?
Maybe. I know my mom loves going to Vegas. She has a fun time there. Nice. And she's only saying, like, even though like I'm not like a gambler or a drinker or anything, that I would still have a good time there.
Yeah, there's enough other stuff to do, honestly.
I think they have the mob museum
there. Oh, yeah.
I would have a blast there. Yeah. That's something that's always interested me.
Yeah, it's a really neat city. There's something for everyone. And if you like food, you're in the right place. That's what we go for.
I do love some food.
There is a lot of food.
You got some of the best chefs in the world. So put it down. January 6th is my birthday, and that's when it starts. So let's go. Let's do it.
Sorry.
I'm a little excited about this trip. Because Dave's forbidden us to go to Vegas anymore. Because we've been too much. And I'm like, but January we're going, right?
Well, I also want to hear about Grand Budapest Hotel because I want to see it. I kind of want to know where it falls in the catalog.
Yeah, well, I guess we're now moving to movies. So, yeah, Grand Budapest Hotel, I just saw that like a week and a half ago or so. It's the latest from Wes Anderson, and it's a Wes Anderson movie through and through. Like, you're not going to go in there and see a wild divergence from the style that you've come to know from Wes Anderson, and you kind of see it with his more recent stuff. Like, he's gotten more and more into those, like, the quirks that have made him a famous name. So if you're not really a Wes Anderson person, Grand Budapest Hotel probably isn't going to change your mind. Overall, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought Ralph Fiennes, he's kind of new to the Wes Anderson troupe.
That's an odd addition that I wouldn't think of being in one of his movies.
And he's great. Like Ralph Fiennes is really good at comedy. Like, you think of like this or going back a few years within Bruges, he was he's a really capable, funny comedic actor. And he's this kind of little bit creepy guy. He's like the concierge of this hotel in this fictional country. Just on the onset of World War II, like, you kind of see the beginnings of it, and it's kind of not, it's almost like how in Royal Tenenbaums, it's New York, but like Wes Anderson's version of New York.
Yep.
It's almost like Wes Anderson's version of World War II. Like,
yeah, that's what I had heard. I think he was on with Terry Gross, maybe something like that, you know, Fresh Air, one of those things, talking about it. And it was kind of like he did like an amalgamation of Eastern Europe during World War II kind of thing, or
like the Nazi type soldiers you see are not, like, you don't see the swastika, you see something else.
But
his attention to detail is still there. Like, it really makes this world feel lived in, and, you know, it feels like an actual thing, because that's one of the things that, you know, the Anderson fans love so much about him, is that he has this attention to detail, and that's why it takes so long for him to make movies. And the acting's good. You know, I said Ralph Fiennes was really good. And basically, if you wait long enough in this movie, you'll see just about every regular from Wes Anderson movies make at least a cameo. Like, there is a sequence in this movie that seems to be just an excuse to get all the other people that they haven't shown yet
to, like, jam everybody in there
just quick. We got this guy, and it was an enjoyable movie. I wouldn't put it like up there with like Rushmore or Royal Tenenbaums. Like, I gave it like a B, and it's a solid movie. I think if you're a Wes Anderson fan, you'll probably enjoy it. And yeah, I think it was definitely worth checking out. And it's nice to see something like this, the early part of the year before we get like kind of decent movies.
Yeah. I'm definitely a Wes Anderson fan. For me, I'm trying to think what my favorite is. Maybe it might even be Moonrise Kingdom. I don't know. Something about that I just really loved. I felt like he just kind of hit all cylinders with that one. But I mean, I still love Rushmore. I just watched that recently, and I even liked Darjeeling. I don't know why I did, but I don't know. There's something about it I just liked.
Darjeeling was beautifully shot, but it didn't really do much for me.
Yeah, like story wise, I don't know where it really went, but it just everything looked nice.
Yeah, I'm sure when I'll probably check out the Criterion Blu-ray someday and give it another chance. But yeah, he certainly knows his way, kind of making movies, and he makes really interesting choices with this one too. Like you see like stuff like it, there's parts of it that look like they're filmed like in a silent movie. Like there's like a down, like there's a scene where the characters are skiing and like you see the camera move very slightly. Like you see, like if you watch an old silent movie, like the camera is usually not stationary. It kind of flutters a little bit, and just seeing that detail is very, you know, it going the extra mile like that is very cool.
Yeah, I meant to see it. I've just been away. So hopefully I'll see it before next time, because I don't know. I'm just a fan of his movies in general.
Yeah. That's his highest grossing worldwide.
Is it?
Yep. It just beat Royal Tenenbaums. Wow. It's only made like 100 million worldwide.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, his movies usually aren't like huge grossers, but that's, you know, not necessarily the caliber of...
Yeah, he's not drawing a wide audience. He's drawing his audience and...
Yeah, definitely.
I think Tenenbaums was probably where he drew the widest audience, for sure.
Yeah, because he had like
there was so many
all-star cast.
Yeah, the cast kind of with Ben Stiller at that point and all. Yeah, kind of. And Owen Wilson was Owen Wilson wasn't in that, right? Yeah,
and Luke.
Yep. That's right. They were both in it, and they were both kind of hitting their stride in their careers at that point. So
yeah,
he was drawing in a lot of different people. Now, Rob has returned. Nobody even knew he was gone. And I'm pulling back the curtain.
Yeah, I was trying to get away with it.
But who else, has anybody else seen Winter Soldier yet other than Rob?
I have.
Cool. Because I haven't yet. Because I've been away. So, but I it looks good. Go.
All right, so Captain America: Winter Soldier. Like, I've been kind of a little cool on superhero movies lately. A lot of them have kind of been, you know, C range and stuff, and I'm kind of like, okay, I'm kind of sick of it a little bit, kind of superhero fatigue. But Winter Soldier has kind of got me back on board. This movie was a blast. I had so much fun with this movie.
So good, so good.
Yeah, it's like you see with Marvel, like they have such a great track record, like especially money wise, like so many of their movies just make so much money, and you see them kind of branching out a little bit. Like this is like, you know, it's like All the President's Men, but with explosions. Like there's more, like there's no rocket launcher guy in All the President's Men, but yeah, this movie is, it borrows heavily from like 70s, like conspiracy thrillers, you know, down to having Robert Redford in the movie. And you see that, like, it's kind of exploding a huge chunk of their mythology with this movie. And it's just, it's a ton of fun. Like, there was a few things I feel like I kind of wanted a little bit more development on, but by and large, this was, a fun movie. Like, you want to see a good popcorn flick, this is definitely one. It's a good, like, kind of precursor to summer movie season.
Yeah, and I think it's probably one of the best, actual like the best written Marvel films. Like if you go, you know, out of not a pure like fun factor, but just like just overall, like just the story and everything, I feel like it was the most, like, I don't know, just like it wasn't just like a mindless action film. It was actually like,
yeah, there was
deeper than they usually go.
Yeah, there was some political commentary in this one. And,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
But, it wasn't preachy or anything. It was, they knew that they were there to have a fun action movie, but there was a bit of, political stuff to it, and there were some, like, kind of references, I guess partially to the comics, but it kind of reminded me of some of, a really obscure 70s sci-fi movie called Colossus: The Forbin Project. It kind of refers to I guess, kind of one of the moments where the villains kind of make their presence known. And it kind of reminded me of that movie. I'm like, I hope that's deliberate, because that's quite the grab. And I really like how they're mixing up genres with the Marvel stuff. Like the original Captain America movie, that's a war movie through and through. But this one, it's got like the political thriller stuff to it, and it's
It was
a fun time.
Yeah, because it's all in the same universe, but they can make different. All these different properties have different feels to them. Like this is very different than what Avengers was and what Guardians of the Galaxy will be. So
Good. Thor is like the fantasy movies, and you got Guardians of the Galaxy, which looks like kind of like a fun B sci-fi movie. And I guess like Iron Man is probably the kind of populist type movie that just about anybody could get into and watch. And that's something that you see all the other companies with their respective properties that are trying to do what Marvel's doing. And you kind of wonder if they're going to be able to pull something off like that. Like the people who are just going to make a million Spider-Man movies. Like, is it going to be just the same movie over and over again? Like, you got to do what Marvel does, and you got to switch it up. You got to do something different. Even if you're making a movie every year, you got to do something different.
The problem with, Sony only has Spider-Man. So they are trying to do the same treatment that Marvel is doing, but they only have Spider-Man to work with. Granted, I love Spider-Man, I just hope they do it right, because they've already announced a standalone Venom movie, standalone Sinister Six movie. You know, there's gonna be more Spider-Man movies, so like they're trying to make a huge franchise out of this with one property. Fox has X-Men and Fantastic Four to work with, so they're gonna do something similar to that. So they're all trying to do what Marvel's doing, but Marvel has the most variety to really make everything different, not just be all the same stuff recycled.
Yeah, I think with like X-Men, they have a better chance, because X-Men has such a deep stable of characters borrow from, that you can do something like what the Avengers has done and do, because that's what you they're could. Thinking about, like doing like a Mystique movie, and you know, Wolverine obviously is a huge property in that realm. Right.
I mean, there's so many X-Men and stuff that's closest to what, you know, Disney Marvel is doing, but
yeah, I think definitely X-Men would have the best chance of doing it, just because of known established characters that they could spring off. I don't know. I liked the last Spider-Man. I really liked.
I did too.
I really liked Andrew Garfield playing Spider-Man, but the trailer for this next one looks like a mess to me. I don't know.
I don't care really.
I'm super excited. I think I'm hoping that the trailer is just kind of. I think we've just seen most of the same footage over and over again. Honestly,
I'm hoping it's a bad trailer, but it looked really cartoony and reminded me of the end of the Tobey Maguire era, and I was like, oh god, don't.
It's worrying because there's so many villains. So like,
didn't we do this once where it was like three villains and nobody knew what's going on?
Like Reiner only has like 5 minutes of screen time.
It's like a cameo in the beginning or something, or a cold open or something like that. Or
I don't think they're going to repeat the same mistake.
Yeah, with Sandman, Venom.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, plus they're going to do the standalone Venom movie, so like they better do them right then, because Venom, I've always been a huge fan of.
Yeah, because I like Andrew Garfield a lot, and I do.
I think he's a better Peter Parker. I really do.
Yeah, I kind of like him better too. I think I did like the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, but I think I like the last one, this one incarnation, a little more.
I did see recently. I watched the first Spider-Man again, and it's really cheesy.
Oh yeah. This I was kind of at. That was one of the movies that kind of made superhero movies viable again, though.
Yeah, it did.
It was at the very beginning of the curve, really.
Yeah.
You know, after the really bad Batman era.
Right.
Before the latest Batman,
I think some people some people think more fondly of it, like, than it really is, or think you know, think it's better than it really is, just because it was better than
what was there. Yeah. Well, that's like looking back at the Tim Burton Batman, which I didn't like at the time, right. But I find it completely unwatchable now. I mean, even the first one, which was good at the time, but I didn't like it at the time, to be honest. But people considered it good at the time, is like unwatchable at this point. It's just like, just so different than what you see now.
Yeah.
I just don't think these things have a long shelf life, honestly. So, no. I mean, even like say in 5 years you go to watch the first Iron Man, I don't think it's going to hold up at all.
Maybe not. I mean, but it might, like, I guess once the next superhero movie, like the next popular one comes out and it like changes the way that people perceive them, and then all of them are going to start adapting to it. Like, it's going to, I think they're kind of evolving all together.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's got to be some kind. Well, I mean, Marvel has their. The problem is you need to differentiate, and I think that's where DC has a big problem.
Oh, definitely.
And I don't know what they're doing with it. Like, I kind of liked Man of Steel. I thought it was solid.
It was solid.
Saved some stupid shit, but.
But going right into the next one and throwing in Batman and Wonder Woman.
Yeah, like, I think it's too much.
Too quick, yeah.
And honestly. Yeah. The memory of the other Batmans is too soon.
Yeah, exactly.
To reboot, because they were actually good, as opposed to like rebooting things like the Hulk and stuff, which were not good and not memorable.
Yeah, I think DC. I don't know that they're not in it with the movie game, but they've been doing really.
They're
good.
They're better on TV. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I don't know, because I thought Superman was, or Man of Steel was okay.
It was solid. It was definitely wasn't bad.
I don't know what they could have done differently.
I don't think they really didn't set it up to be a Justice League thing. Like, I think they decided on Justice League after.
I think that's part of the problem. Maybe they could have left some hints here and there.
They should have started building towards that.
And I'd be okay if, like, Marvel's the snarkier, say, universe, and there's a more grounded, darker universe.
But how can – I can't imagine how, like
– But I don't know how you do
that. See them try doing a dark version of Wonder Woman.
I mean, you could. I mean, they did it with Superman, and is there any more hokey character than Superman, really?
I mean, it looks more hokey.
They make it look
really cool, but...
Yeah, I mean, you can always, you know... I mean...
I don't know.
Go look at Christopher Reeve again. I mean, there's nothing more hokey than that, and I love that movie, but, you know... I mean, Superman's pretty hokey. There's nothing really grounded about him or real about him. He's so invincible.
They should just embrace the unreal, just the silliness of it.
Yeah, I think their problem is matching him with Batman, which is hard to make hokey.
Yeah, that they just don't. It works in a comic book.
Yeah,
it's gonna be tough to make it work
because they're such different tones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the Adam West series in the 60s, other than that, Batman has never really been that fluffy.
Now, Batman's turned into much more serious, darker.
Yeah, I mean, even comic-wise, it's very dark. It's not, it's hard to match up,
It's going to be interesting. I will definitely see it, and I can't wait to see what they do with it, but...
Well, even just think of the two costumes next to each other.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think they did a decent job with the Superman costume this time, though, because it wasn't like bright red. But
blue and red and tight.
Yeah, it wasn't like crazy over the top, you know.
Yeah.
I think they're going to, for Batman, I think they're going to end up doing like a gray and black suit instead of all black, which would be a welcome change. But
change it up, do something different.
Yeah.
And they can obviously do a different storyline of Batman because there's so many.
Yeah.
Different incarnation of the character.
Yeah, don't make him just a clone of what they did. Like, just make it unique at least.
Yeah, no, I mean, that one was fine. They did what they did. That was perfect for what they did. But move on, do a different one. If you're going to make it part of this universe, make it part of this universe.
Yeah, exactly. Don't copy what was there already.
Because I don't think Affleck can... I don't know. I mean, I think he's a good enough actor. I just think he needs to be a different... person than Christian Bale.
Get out of my light.
Yeah.
Can't you see I'm working here?
I don't know. As long as they you know, have a like Wonder Twins connection, we'll be good to go.
Right.
The big Wonder Twins movie reboot. With their monkey. Didn't they have a monkey?
Yeah.
I'm not really familiar with the Wonder Twins. I don't know where they were in the world.
They were just
probably
Friends.
Watching Scooby-Doo at the time.
Yeah, they were on the Super Friends. They just turned into like ice and shit. Form of a bucket. They did that. They did do bucket and water a lot. And then they would like the monkey would throw them on a fire.
Cool.
Where are we going next?
Well, we don't have any games because I can't play any goddamn games because my thumb's broken.
Oh, that's horrible.
And I'm still a little bitter about it.
Oh, that kind of sucks.
How are you doing at work? Are you all right?
Oh, yeah. Work is totally fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's your right. It's your left hand.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I would have been so screwed if I hurt my right hand. Wow.
Could hold a pen between your toes.
everything would have looked a lot shakier.
Yeah. Like that card you get, you know, with the $10 in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I saw the HBO on Amazon Prime thing. What are they making available exactly?
Old stuff.
Okay. I figured that's what it was going to be.
I think like nothing, like only newer than 3 years.
Okay. Yet. Three. Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, you
but
might.
But that still means Sopranos, Deadwood,
yeah.
The Wire.
Yeah.
Wire.
There's
definitely
a lot.
Good stuff
there's a pretty
sure.
big catalog there at this point.
Yeah. But nothing, you know, if you're looking for, like, newer shows, like, you're not going to find it there.
Okay. Well, that's still cool, though, because that's opening up their access, at least.
Yeah, it is. It is a little surprising, though, because I feel like, if HBO. First of all, I keep saying this, and I'm sure there's. Plenty of reasons why they can't or won't, but I think HBO Go should be able to purchase it without a cable subscription.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah.
You know, and
well,
then
it's like
I think
magazines
it's the cable
are like
subscription
that too.
Is.
Well, yeah.
A cable subscription is basically still HBO's primary source of
income. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like I don't pay for cable, but if I could get an HBO Go subscription, there would be a lot of people who don't have HBO now but would pay for that as a separate standalone service. Although on the other hand, they might have people that might cancel cable if
they
could do that too. So
yeah, they're too tied in to the cable
business.
But
yeah. Yeah. I mean it sucks. But I really hate this being tied to cable packages because it just doesn't work for
Well,
doesn't work for me anymore.
And now with this fucking Comcast bullshit.
Oh, God. It's going to be worse than ever.
It's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
Well, we only have one option here unless we go satellite. So it's Shaw or nobody where I live.
Yeah. Where I am right now, all I have is Time Warner, which is going to be eaten up by Comcast. So it's like.
Hopefully they deny that, but I doubt it.
I don't see how. I mean, I don't understand how this can go through.
First of all, they should have never let them buy NBC Universal anyway.
Yeah.
That was bullshit to begin with, but whatever.
I think they're getting around it because like Comcast and Time Warner operate in like different areas.
Yeah. Yeah, but they'll control so much of the market, it's not even funny.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous. Like two of the biggest. I think they are the two biggest.
They are the two biggest, yeah.
Yeah, it's like 75% of American cable or two of those two.
Yeah, it's a massive,
I thought that was against
amount.
The law in the States.
It used to
didn't
be.
Didn't they prosecute Microsoft for that exact thing?
No, we didn't. That was Europe. We are an oligarchy, so we don't have to worry about that anymore.
I could have sworn that the American government went after Microsoft because
they had
a monopoly.
They may have, but you know what? When you got money, you can do anything in this country anymore. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I think that only so far because you guys have antitrust laws there.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's like they're getting either someone's paying.
We have
someone
antitrust
off.
Laws, and they were able to buy NBC Universal, so they are the provider and the content maker. And
there's a lot of loopholes are getting through.
Yeah, and the thing is that's what they do all the time is they just whittle away at us, right? And
it's
that's
a little here, a little there. It's like the. Sports networks they own where they have gaming rights so they can or game rights you know for local markets so they can hold those back from other you know it's just a whole bunch of bullshit.
Well, didn't that happen with someone in DirecTV?
There's always stuff happening like that constantly. Mostly with Time Warner, of course.
Yeah, I can't remember. I just remember the guy that writes and directs Sons of Anarchy getting people all riled up to say that they would cancel their subscription or something because his show was on that channel, I guess.
Yeah, usually it's DirecTV or Time Warner that has those things.
Yeah. See, here you buy packages. Like, you only have one option. And you can either have, well, that's not true. You could go with a Bell Satellite, or you could go with Shaw Media, and Shaw is like cable to your door through a cable, and they offer phone, and they offer internet, and, you know, the whole nine yards. And that's it. That's you can get like a basic package, and then you get HD channels and all that shit like that. So, and it's like, for me, I pay $150 a month for internet, high-speed internet, and cable. Hmm. And I get like 200 channels.
That's about comparable.
Yeah. So you have to think, is it worth canceling it? Because we get a lot of, we get all, pretty much that's our entertainment bill for the month, really.
Yeah. You know? Well, 'cause it's the worst part of it is that you can't do a la carte programming. It's just bullshit. There's so many channels I just don't want at all.
Yeah.
But like Matt said, that's their bread and butter.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah.
And there's so many channels that no one actually wants, but they have to package them in or else no one would ever get them.
Yeah, the knitting channel or something, you know, I don't know. Yeah, anyway, I guess we'll eventually. Well, magazines are the same, though. You know, I talked about that before where I had a subscription to a magazine here in Canada, and they gave me the digital subscription as well, and it was great on my iPad. The content was fantastic. You could press on things, and it'd be like a little voice memo from the editor. And you could, you know, click on more information and stuff. The images were nice and clean. I really enjoyed it. But they kept sending me the hard copies, which I didn't really want, and ended up giving to old folks' homes because who else reads magazines, right? And the problem was is that they just kept sending them. And then when my subscription ran out, they took all my digital copies off my iPad just the next day. They were gone.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's weird. Considering you paid for them, that's weird.
Yeah, but I would appreciate if I could just buy the digital copies.
Yeah, but I guess right. Yeah.
But that would put a lot of people out of work. So maybe that's why they don't do it.
Hmm.
You know, printers, mailmen, things like that. I don't know.
I get Entertainment Weekly, and I always toss out the actual paper copy.
That's who we're doing it for, Rob. We're doing it for our mailmen. That's who we're doing it for. Sure. We support you, mailman, like Mikey. We support you guys with our...
There you go.
They probably hate Magazine Day, too, though, you know.
So how is All Hail Jossus, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doing?
It's really, really good.
Good. I'm so glad that you agree, Miguela. It's gotten back to the point where I actually look forward to it every week.
Well, that's good.
It's redeemed itself in my eyes.
Yeah. Does it feel like they kind of did they finally find what they're going to do with everything now? Like character wise, it doesn't, you know.
It seems like it, and now they're kind of in sync with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes, totally in sync.
Do you think that was the problem in the beginning? They didn't jump off the movies enough in the beginning of the series? Like
They didn't lead in, like, they had a big Thor week where they could have really.
But they didn't really. Yeah, they didn't completely go all in with it. Where it's. Is it. They, just from what I've heard, it seems like they kind of went all in with it with this one.
Yeah. They were. Like, in the beginning, they were just, like, name dropping. That's all they were doing. Yeah. But now, you know. Like Captain America, like way affected the show, and you know it continued going for there. It almost feels like a continuation of Captain America without Captain America, but like just of how of S.H.I.E.L.D. basically the story of S.H.I.E.L.D. like after Hydra took over.
Yeah, I thought that's what it should have been from the beginning. I don't know why they didn't do that.
They didn't, but they found their stride now.
I think so.
All
yeah.
Hail Josh. Josh, ooh, oh my God, I'm gonna get killed. I'll be murdered. Staked, oh my God. I'm able to drink again, so you leave me alone.
It's the Lord
I'll
our
say Josh if I want to, because I'm slurring. As we were leaving Vancouver Fan Expo, the security guard that opened the door for us said, "Hail Hydra."
Oh, that was our thing at AwesomeCon. We, the whole weekend, we just kept like whispering. We'd like try to go and like lean into someone like as if we're going to like tell them something. And we just go, "Hail Hydra."
That happened to me at PAX East. I just walked by a guy and he just said, "Hail Hydra."
Oh, jeez.
So awesome. It's great.
It's so good. Like, I think we should just talk about it, right? Especially this last episode. Oh, my God. With Sky and the Penny and the, oh, my God.
Wait, I didn't watch this week's yet because I've been
Oh, my God.
I'm going to watch it probably after we finish.
Totally spoiled now.
Okay, Rob, can I just say, can I ask you to do something?
Yeah.
Can you record just a feedback for the show and send it to Mike and he can put it in the show? Because I'm really, I do listen to the show and they're not all white noise.
They're not all white noise.
I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about this episode.
Ooh, okay. That's got me excited.
That is an opinion spoiler.
Wow, opinion spoilers.
Yeah. Okay, so let's not talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore because I don't want to talk about it anymore. Okay. And I don't want to talk about Game of Thrones next either because that's a big one. We should talk about that last, I think. Matt, why don't you tell us about Mad Men?
Yep, Mad Men just came back.
I haven't gotten a start yet. Damn it.
All right, I'll try to be vague. I mean, Mad Men's really more a show about character.
There's not much spoiler you can.
Yeah, not much I can really spoil about it. But yeah, it's back for part one of its final season. They're doing a Breaking Bad. I don't know really why, but I guess they're just trying to milk it for as much as they can. But
pretty much, yeah.
Because I don't think like they're not going to really end on like some crazy cliffhanger like Breaking Bad did with their final season two-parter. But yeah, so far it's good. They're kind of at the end of the 60s, kind of the beginning of the end of the 60s. You know, Nixon gets inaugurated in the first episode, so it's 1969.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of wrapping up and we're kind of seeing it seems like it's going to be like the fall of Don, kind of seeing that facade that he's built all these years kind of start to crumble. And so far it's pretty good so far. Nothing too mind blowing, but it's you know, it's just only episode two, so
yeah.
Usually takes a couple episodes to get going.
Yeah, it's been two episodes so far. So yeah, I mean, it's only because I've been away I didn't get to see it, but one of my two or three favorite shows, and it's just like, yeah, it's not things you can spoil, but by the end of the season, you're like, man, so much happened, and it was so good, and I just worry that eight episodes is going to be too short for their stories, you know?
Yeah, well, it's seven.
Oh, is it seven?
Oh,
God.
Yeah, seven this year, and then we're going to wait another year and then seven more.
Yeah, the only reason I worry about that, like with Breaking Bad, you can have this big, like, massive mid-season cliffhanger or something. But with Mad Men, it's just that, you know, living with the characters for those, 3 months or whatever the season
is. Yeah, there'll be some existential moment and then, like, see you next year.
Yeah, yeah, whereas doing it so short like that, I hope it doesn't hurt the storytelling.
Yeah, I can imagine it'll be fine for like people who are going to be binge watching it later, but it's going to be kind of weird. But who knows? Maybe they came into this with that in mind, and we'll end episode seven on a good note that feels like it could be a decent finale episode.
Yeah. So I guess these last two, whatever they want to call them, half seasons, are they staying the same year?
Like taking place in the same year?
Yeah, whereas, you know, before, like pretty much every season's.
Like, yeah, every season spans kind of roughly a year or so.
Yeah, around about a year. Not, you know, not definitively, but yeah.
Yeah, give or take. Yeah, I think that's still the plan. I kind of don't want to see the show go into, like, even the early bit of the 70s, because it feels like.
Yeah, I thought the plan was always to end 69.
You know? Yeah, the 60s and how the 60s changed America, that's one of the huge themes of the show. And, the, you know, seeing that kind of come to fruition, you see you know, 69 is the year of the moon landing and yep. Woodstock and Altamont, and you see, you know, Vietnam and all that stuff, and you see kind of like it kind of it's a decent area to end that, and you kind of see, like, you know, we're going to be entering the era of Nixon and Watergate and all the stuff in the 70s, but that's, we're not going to see that part. But yeah, I think it should probably, you know, cover maybe first half the year, and then the other half of the year.
Yeah, I mean, because it's always kind of vague how long it takes a season, but it generally seems like it's about a full year.
Yeah. Yeah, usually like an episode, it's like covers like a month or so. We drop in on them.
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah, because last one was Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, first one was the inauguration, so it makes sense.
Now, Altamont was at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that was December.
Yeah, December. So that would be kind of an interesting, maybe like next to last episode where something like that happens. Because that was kind of the end of, because 67 was Summer of Love, then you had Woodstock in 69. But then like Altamont happened, and that was kind of like a big blow to the, I guess,
hippie movement. That was a huge loss of innocence.
Yeah. Yeah.
December 6th.
Yep. It was like a big kick in the groin to the, you know,
The hippie culture like that movement. And Manson.
Yeah.
When Manson got busted.
And when did he get busted? Shit. That was that same year.
I think he was 69 too.
I think so.
There's that whole theory that, what's her name?
It's going to be Sharon Tate. I don't see him Dom's doing...
Dom's wife is...
I don't see him doing anything like that, though.
Yeah, they pretty much kind of debunked it, even though there's people still, like, having their crazy theories.
Yeah. And that was kind of in the summer.
Well, it looks like he was... hold on. I'm just looking this up, but yeah, so it should be interesting. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it, but I don't want it to end, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how it's going to end. I might do like a rewatch of like the entire series in between the breaks of this one. So like I have like the first 6.5 seasons, you know, for the year, and then I'll wrap it up with the last 7.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. It seems like he was arrested sometime in the summer. So, yeah. I don't know. I agree. I don't see Megan being a part of that. So, I can't wait to get started on that show. who's watching Orphan Black?
I am.
Everybody.
Not me. Except
you.
Everybody but you.
I need to catch up on season 1 still.
It's such a good show. I miss the show so much.
Yeah, they hit the ground running.
Oh my god.
And it just kept going.
Yeah, and Tatiana Maslany has not lost a single step in her she's so good. Hey. It's so amazing, like, just seeing her like going like impersonating one of them, and then see like the other one kind of like she moves her face so slightly, and like, you know, like, oh, that's that one, but like she changes it like a little bit, like, oh yeah, that's Cosima, that's Sarah, and it's just mind-blowing how good she is.
Yeah, that's what gets me, is like when she like plays all these clones, but then she plays like a clone dressed as another clone, and you can tell the difference. It's like, it's amazing. And just the fact that she has to, a lot of times, is basically acting to a stand-in, you know?
Well, the girl that she plays, I was reading an article about her today, actually, and it's always been the same girl since the beginning, and apparently they're going to let her face actually be shown this year in a
episode. Yeah, she's going to make a cameo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be in a dream. But I thought that was really cool. Like, can you imagine, or I don't know how I'd feel about it, really. You're doing all that work as well, because she has to do all the mannerisms and the movements and everything, and nobody even knows she exists. They think she's a tennis ball.
And, well, that's the life of a stunt worker.
Yeah, exactly. You do all the work, that's and you true. Get
none of the glory.
That's true. Yeah. And but the story is going to be very interesting, I think, now after what's happened with the little girl.
Yeah.
You know, how long is that going to play out, I wonder? Is that going to be the whole season of her trying to get her daughter back, or is it...
I feel like the show never really moved that slowly, so I think that the daughter will either come back or the daughter will be, like, back in the picture fairly soon, I think.
I hope so.
They really keep a nice, quick pace with the show. They really do.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of Tomas having that little girl for too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like the daughter is very important to the mythology because, as far as we know, she's the only biological offspring of the clones.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it seems like there's kind of hinting at it, and I don't know how long they've like kind of plotted this, like how long they expect it to go. But yeah, I'm on board with this. Like, it's just it's so much fun, and she's so like, if she wasn't good, this show would fall apart. But she's just like, she deserves all the hype she's gotten. She's just so amazing in it. And yeah,
they're all good though. Like, even the guy who plays Felix, he's amazing. Like, I love
Felix. Is great. He's fantastic.
You know, if he turns coat on her, and I think he's going to, unfortunately, I think they put out some really weird press photos. I don't understand them. I don't want to understand them. Yeah. They put out some really weird photos of different groups of people together, like different clones with, you know, and Felix was not with Sarah. So
weird.
I won't say any more than that. But, you know, I was just like,
what's funny is like, he's not British and not gay. And it's like, hard to like comprehend because he just like plays the character so well, and it's probably one of the better British accents, like fake British accents I've heard. Like, he's very convincing. Like, you know, it's like, you know, I spend a lot of my family is British, so like I know, like, it's just like, usually you could tell when it's like not a legit accent, but like he's really, both of them actually do really, really good accents.
Yeah. Oh, they're amazing. They're so good. What a lucky find. Like you say, if they'd have gotten anybody else.
They are Canadians.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So thank you, Michaela, for...
You're welcome. Now watch Orphan Black.
Yeah.
I have to imagine this show is going to blow up this year. Because last year, like, it only had, like, an audience in, like, the hundreds of thousands. But I have to imagine this year it's going to be so much bigger with like all the buzz it's gotten, and it got like on Entertainment Weekly cover, and so many people are just like talking about the show and obviously how great it is and how great she is.
I'm fairly positive she won a Juno Award here too. So Juno, whatever they are, the Canadian version of something good in the Americans, you know, whatever we have,
some kind
Juno?
Of award.
Juno, I think it's Juno, Genie, Gemini Awards. There you go. I'm pretty sure.
Well, she deserves it. That's for sure.
She does.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, she was nominated for Golden Globe, too, I think. I'm pretty sure she was nominated for Golden Globe.
Oh my God, like, if she's ever in any, like, I will watch anything that she's in. Like, anything in the future, done.
What else has she done, I wonder? Let's see.
Not much.
She was on Parks and Rec for two episodes this year.
Right, I heard that. Fun. I have to catch up.
Aziz Ansari's love interest for a couple episodes. Yeah, I don't think she's really definitely. And yeah, to be shallow, she is attractive. Yeah, but yeah, she's
certainly is.
She's got if she doesn't have a promising future, like, the it doesn't make sense. She's just so good.
There's something wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong if she doesn't like use this to just become huge. She's just so good. It's ridiculous.
You'll be very proud of me. I got my facts right. She was nominated for one Golden Globe. Yeah.
There you go.
That's
she has another
big.
12 wins and another 7 nominations, which are probably...
Just the nominations are a huge deal, just because, like, she's an unknown. This kind of came out of nowhere. So I think she got those nominations based off of all the you know, hype that people are saying about her. So.
Yeah, it's always great when you just have someone just come out of nowhere and just blow everybody away.
Gemini and Genie Awards. See? Lots of Canadian Awards. People's Choice Award USA. Lots of stuff.
She is Canadian.
Film Circles, Critics Circle. You can't get better, bigger than that. So there you go. Thank you, IMDb, for all of your valuable information. Anyway, she's hot. She's awesome. She kicks ass. Watch her.
Please, like, if seriously, if you don't watch it, just give it a shot. Like, yeah, if you have.
While you're waiting for HBO to come on Amazon Prime, you can watch Orphan Black on Amazon Prime because that's the only place you can get it.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, seriously? Legally.
Yeah. Well, because they do a lot. They have a bunch of the BBC America shows.
Yeah. I know not a lot of people have Amazon Prime, so it's like hard to, like, if they don't have it, it's hard to get a hold of it. But honestly, like, it's really
worth it. It's worth the effort. It's only like 11 episodes so far, so it's a quick catch up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You'll get hooked on it.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Rob, maybe you could go on Craigslist in your neighborhood and you could say, I will trade you my login for Amazon Prime for your HBO login. Your HBO Go login. Hmm. What do you think?
I already have an HBO Go login. So.
Oh, okay. That I might figured be you probably did.
That might be dangerous.
Yeah, I would not do that.
No. That would be dangerous.
That way you just don't have to order services and bundles. You can just trade with other people.
Yeah.
No? Bad idea?
Bad idea.
Bad idea.
Damn. All right. I bought something off Craigslist this week, and I was terrified.
Are you still alive? So that's good.
I am. That's right. So. Dave usually goes and deals with these situations. I don't take care of these situations, but he was not taking care of a situation. We have purchased a puppy. Yay! Still a little sad, still a little hurt. Not sure if I'm ready. Anyway, that's the whole other story. I was at a moment of weakness after being sick for so long, and somehow he managed to talk me into getting a puppy. There's a puppy coming May 5th, but she is in Edmonton, and we are in Vancouver, so Dave's going to fly in and pick her up and bring her home, and then she will be our love. She needed a kennel to go on the plane. So I looked around, and I found one, and I messaged this guy, and he messaged me back, and he said, I live in a high-security building, so you come and tap on the I'll be in the lobby reading a pocketbook. It was very specific. Tap on the window, and I will let you in, and we can go up to my apartment, and you can see the carrier.
Sketchy.
So I messaged him back, and I said, why don't you bring the carrier into the lobby? And we can meet there. So he agreed to do that. I went, I got it, and I survived. And it's a very good deal that I got, so I'm very pleased and alive. Yay, Craigslist. But when I think about it, I got my job from Craigslist, my house, my car. The only thing I didn't get was my husband. So there you go. Yay, Craigslist. Anyway, that is not TV. So, we can't talk about the Walking Dead finale.
You can talk about it. I don't care. If you want to talk about it, feel free. I don't care.
No, we're not going to spoil you. We're just absolutely not going to do that.
Well, that doesn't matter to me. I'll get around to watching it at some point.
Oh, you've read the comics, though.
Yeah.
It's not like the comics.
Oh, okay.
Because it's so far.
Or at least you don't really, like, they didn't really reveal a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of know what happened, so I'm not really.
Okay, then Michael David. You watch the finale and you record.
I'm not going to have time to watch it anytime
soon. Send it in. Just kidding. Okay, yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. Oh my God. Ah! That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Who watched Fargo? Because I'm kind of interested in this, but I haven't watched it.
I watched it a little bit ago.
I have two.
Yeah, I saw the first episode so far. I didn't watch the second one yet. The first one was like a double episode almost. It was pretty long, it seemed.
Yeah, with commercials, it's almost as long as the movie.
Yeah, I thought it seemed extremely long. It took me a little while to get into it. Like Billy Bob Thornton, I don't know, Midwesterners, I don't know, they don't excite me. By the end, I liked it. I just I don't know. I'm reserving judgment till I at least see one or two more episodes. I wasn't like blown away or anything like that. It was solid.
It's not as good as the film, of course. I mean, it's
no, yeah. I wasn't going in really. I just kind of went in blind with it, not expecting it to be anything like the movie at all. I do like Billy Bob. I think he brings an interesting take to the whole thing.
Yeah, but Billy Bob Thornton seems to be having a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely weird.
He's a weird guy anyway. So
yeah, I think that works well. It's so
yeah,
fun.
No doubt. it obviously has like a huge shadow to live up to, and it also it, and because I guess it, because Coen Brothers always kind of remind me of Breaking Bad. Like Breaking Bad is kind of felt like if the Coen Brothers made a show, that would be it. So yeah. it reminds me a lot of Breaking Bad. I mean, it's they're kind of going more the True Detective route, where it's going to be each season is its own story.
Okay.
But I feel like it owes a lot more to Breaking Bad as far as style is concerned.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I mean, it has that little kind of quirky, dark humor to it. Really, really dry, dark humor, I guess.
And there's references to the movie, like the disclaimer that they put at the beginning of the episode.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Where there's a disclaimer that says it's a true story.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah.
And that's what they put on the film.
Yeah.
And the thing is that's not a true story.
No.
there's certain elements that they took, but it's
there's
not a true story.
The characters weren't really grabbing. Even Martin Freeman really wasn't.
Oh, I really liked him. I thought he really kind of nailed that. And it's also kind of where you get like the Breaking Bad parallel, because he's just such he's such a put upon guy, just like everything just like craps on him nonstop, and you kind of see him break bad when he crosses paths.
That's
with
true.
Bob's character.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't think he was bad. Like I bought him as who he was. I don't know if it was the Midwestern thing or what wasn't working for me, but by the end I was definitely interested. It may have been just that the first episode was a little too long. Also, that could
yeah. Sometimes pilots can
just be
that way.
Yeah,
they get the supersized pilot and like okay.
So that's why I definitely
in an hour.
I want to check out 2 and 3 and see if they get a little more of a flow with the normal whatever 48 minutes or 44 minutes or whatever it turns out to be. So yeah, I'm definitely checking more of it out. I wasn't disappointed or like put off or anything like that. I just I'm not sure yet. I would say that's what I would say.
All right, fair enough.
Bad or anything like that. Just that I don't know if it works for me quality wise. I think it's really good.
Fair enough. All right. I guess before we go into the Game of Thrones thing, I'll talk about the other two shows I have on here. Hannibal. Is it's about 2/3 of the way through its second season, and it is awesome. Basically, like, imagine if The Following and Dexter weren't like poorly written, if the characters weren't morons all the time.
That would like, be a night. That would like, be a change of pace.
Yeah, imagine if The Following, though. If they didn't have the head injury contest that they must have off camera to justify how dumb they are. Like Hannibal is the show that these shows want to be. It's like a prequel to the Red Dragon, Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter universe, but it's going in a different direction. Like you see Mads Mikkelsen, he plays Hannibal, but you don't see like the hamminess that Anthony Hopkins had when he played him. It's much more kind of a calm, vaguely European. You can't really place his accent. It's a strange accent, but the show is so well done. It's like with Breaking Bad gone, it is easily the most visually interesting show on TV. Like you should, like Hannibal is, you know, he's a cannibal, of course, and certainly the show is, there's a lot of grisly stuff. I mean, it's not really for the faint of heart, but it never feels like the gore is gratuitous. Like, it doesn't feel like, you know, American Horror Story or like Sons of Anarchy. Like, they put like that stuff in just for the shock factor. And there's a lot of parts of Hannibal where you don't see the murder take place. Like, they like give you the clues and you just basically piece it together. And with Hannibal, like, you see him preparing food, and even knowing that like the food is like human remains, like, it seems like this commentary on like food porn. It looks amazing, and the people who eat it, like, they always say like, "Oh, this is great. This is amazing stuff." And it seems like this season they're really building towards something. Like, the opening of the season 2 premiere, like, it shows that like we're heading towards this, you know, point of no return, and they're just so good. It's just, you know, for a show on, you know, network TV gets crapped on a lot for doing shows that are kind of bland and appeal to just the common denominator. And, you know, it's hard to make a good network show that appeals to a wide audience, but you know, get past the, you know, standards and practices. And, you know, Hannibal is not doing great in ratings, but it has a passionate fan base. But Hannibal is a great sign of a show that is on network TV that's doing well. Like, if the show were on cable, it would be huge. But yeah, as far as it being on NBC, it's just the show that we, you know, the fans are always, I guess they call them fanables, are really, really championing. And the second show I want to talk about is also a network show, and also a sign that, hey, not all network shows are garbage. It's The Good Wife. The Good Wife has been crushing it this season. Last year was kind of, it was their off season that kind of felt like it was maybe getting a little stale. There was like the subplot involving one of the characters' ex-husbands that was just awful and almost ruined the character. But this season has been like kind of a reboot. They went into a whole different direction of the show, and it's amazing how good this show is. Like, the acting is all great, and they have such a great deep bench of great actors, like guest stars who just pop up here and there every couple times a season. And, you know, the main cast is fantastic, and they, you know, they pulled off a huge shocking death a couple weeks ago, and like they kept this thing quiet, and it's amazing how well that, because the out of the blue death, I mean, it can feel really contrived and be like, you didn't really earn that, and they earned it in this, and it was just fantastic. And this season has been knocking it out of the park every week.
Nice.
Yeah,
well, I heard there was some shock. There was something shocking, huge. Obviously, don't tell us what it was that happened.
Yeah,
but it's always nice when a show gets that much publicity that makes you all of a sudden go, maybe I should be watching this. You
know? Yeah, it feels like it's so good. Like, it really gets like politics really well. Like, it feels like it's been kind of compared in some ways to being kind of an Heir to the Wire, in that it's about kind of how the politics can influence people and change lives more than like kind of morality and stuff like that. And yeah, it's just really well written. Like, they can do like these one-off stories that are really just, it's really great to just see something like this on network TV. Like, so many people are kind of just like cable snobs and just think that, oh, stuff on cable is so much better than network TV. And I think, you know, Good Wife and Hannibal, those shows I can put up right there with anything cable or streaming services have to offer. And yeah, it's just fantastic. And then, and the show in its fifth season, it feels like it's in its first.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've definitely I heard a lot of good things about the surprise death, we'll say.
Yeah. Because really, how it was, I guess, to handled, borrow something. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm stepping over here. But yeah, like AV Club kind of said something. You know, whenever somebody says something shocking happens, 99% of the time that means someone dies.
It's, yeah, usually, pretty much. Yeah,
that's usually what happens, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That like, can you remember a time when someone said that and it like wasn't that?
And it wasn't a death. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
If you haven't seen The Red Wedding, that's not like something shocking, because there's a bunch of surprise cameos. That's not what's.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa! Hey, look, there's a.
tomato sauce. Dies. Sometimes that's shocking, like on Game of Thrones.
Oh my God, Jon Snow came down from the wall and went to the wedding and had wine with him. No, that was not the surprise.
No.
Thank you.
Speaking of the Game of Thrones, the Game of
Thrones. The Game of Thrones.
See what I did there? Setting up the segue.
That was perfect.
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful. Weddings. I was quite, as a non-reader of the books, I was happy to see Joffrey go. I kind of had a feeling he was at the end of his line just because they were showing him so much that episode.
Yeah, it was like his greatest hits of awful.
Oh my God, he really couldn't have sunk any lower. He was at a point where it was like, yeah, they're just going to have to kill him because they're not redeeming him in any way, so he's going to have to die.
Yeah, weirdly enough, I kind of got spoiled on this from the South Park Game of Thrones parody they did last fall, because they mentioned that Joffrey got poisoned. I'm sorry, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Game of Thrones. But yeah, like that, like, Joffrey, like, you know, he, George R. R. Martin's like says, like, oh, so many of the characters are in shades of gray. Like, yeah, Joffrey's black.
Yeah, there is no gray.
Not in shades of gray. He is evil.
Yeah.
He is, I mean, yeah, I guess he's a kid in the books and whatever. But yeah, he's, it's hard to imagine somebody being that awful and not getting taken out. Like, he's based on Caligula.
Yeah.
In, you know, the Roman emperor. And Caligula, like, it's historical spoiler alert, did not last long as emperor. Like, his guards were like, enough of this guy, and they just took him out. And Joffrey died differently, but yeah, you kind of imagine, like, when I was watching the wedding, like, he's having, you know, the dwarves do the War of the Five Kings, which wasn't exactly accurate. And, like, you see, like, it's making fun of people who are at the table there. And, like,
yes.
You know, Sir Loras, so, and Marjorie, yeah, and Sansa, and like a lot of those people had connections to people who were being mocked, who died horrible deaths.
Well, not because even of to it. Mention his brand new bride. Like, he was mocking, yeah, you know, that his bride's dead old husband. You know,
yeah.
Like, he has no sense of decency. He had no sense of decency at all. He had no compassion at all. He was a monster.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not a shock that he was a monster, considering his mother. You know, yeah, his mother's disgusting human being.
Yeah, he's so, you know, spoiled rotten and given absolute power. What's going to happen?
It's going to happen. Nothing good. You know.
Yeah, even though he was in many ways Tywin's puppet, I mean, he was still a lunatic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my favorite line in the whole show so far has been, "I think the king is ready for bed." I would send him to bed, right? I was like, there you go. But have you
kind of wish he would come back to life so that they can kill him again?
I, yeah, know, right?
Exactly.
Who has read the book?
He's the first Southern White Walker in the,
yeah,
yeah, for no kidding. Have you read the books, Matt?
I am partially through the third book. I'm like up through, I guess, kind of what episode 4 and 5 of season 3 dealt with. Like, the last chapter I read was Daenerys, you know, Dracarys, that whole scene where they burn Astapor, yeah, to the ground.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I'm still not ahead of what the show what's is going delivering. On. And that's kind of what I'm doing, but that's going to get a lot more complicated as the show goes on, because I know 4 and 5 are take place at the same time, and
yeah.
I've heard, and I know, like, some of the stuff that we've seen in this season are like scenes from book 5. So it's really interesting as far as an adaptation is concerned, because, you know, the first season is the first book, period.
Yeah.
And then the second season, like, they took some liberties, and you kind of see the first part of the third book.
Yeah, a
little
bit of 3 smattered here and there. Yeah.
And now we're seeing like the third, like the first half in season 3, and then the second half, and we're seeing little bits of future books. And it's, I don't envy Benioff and Weiss for the Herculean task of adapting this stuff, especially when they get to the point where they catch up with what Martin's writing, because Winds of Winter still not around.
That's the thing. Like,
say that.
He said that he will release the book before the show catches up. But, like, that's like a good, like, 4 or 5 years if they split each book into you know, two seasons, which they could probably easily do.
Yeah, especially so if it's they like, take it.
And honestly, and I hate to say it, but I feel like this guy's gonna die before he finishes the last book.
Well, apparently he's written out a roadmap of what he
he's
wants
told,
to see happen.
Yeah, he's told them.
That's good.
The broad strokes of every major character.
Yeah, I think
maybe
they'll
he just doesn't have it in him to finish writing it. You know, like maybe he's at a point end with the characters and he doesn't know what to do next.
I think. Well, they'll keep going.
He did
going
start
anyway.
Writing that like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So how many people have been working on a task for 20 years?
Yeah.
Not to mention, like, his free time is so divided amongst, you know, press stuff for Game of Thrones, and he certainly has to be much more much busier than he was in 96 and the first couple of years when he got one of those books out every couple of years.
Not to mention the fact he's too busy tweeting. The hell off Twitter.
And now he's kind of on the trying to defend what happened this week.
Yeah.
With the controversial episode or the controversial moment from
Mean, I guess it's controversial because it was different in the books.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I mean, a lot of shit happens in these episodes. It wasn't really any worse than anything else that happens.
No, it really honestly wasn't at all.
But I guess the big controversy is that Jamie like turns a corner in the books and is on a good path, whereas here he kind of takes a step back.
Well, yeah. It's interesting to see, to talk to different men from my perspective, to see how they see that scene. Do they see that scene as a rape scene, or do they see that scene as Cersei's a horrible, dirty piece of crap anyway, so who gives a shit what happens to her? Or,
well, you know, I mean, she is a terrible human being, so I don't really
care.
She
is terrible, but it's definitely rape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was saying no a bunch, and he even said explicitly, "I don't care."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care. Yeah.
That's not what happens in the book.
No.
In the book, she is begging him for it. Like, she's literally saying, like, fuck me now, right? So in the book, Jamie's on this really nice arc where you're starting to think he has this love for Brienne, not a romantic love, I don't think, but he has this love for Brienne, and that he's just saved her from being raped, you know, to the cost of his hand, right? And, you know, he stood up for her on a number of occasions. He's becoming a good guy. He was really only such a shitty dude because he was manipulated by Cersei, and that he was on this path. And in the end, how can you feel like he's on a redemption path when he's a rapist? You know, like, how can you feel that?
Yeah.
But by the same token, also, in the books, it shows also the depravity of Cersei and how she doesn't give a shit who sees her screw her brother on the altar of her dead son, you know? She's begging him to have sex with her in the end. And it's interesting to see that now we're supposed to feel sympathy and pity for Cersei, and we're supposed to feel that he's a victim, he's victimized her, when that's not how the arc of the characters in the book happens at all. So it's hard. It's I'm more pissed off on Jamie's behalf, you know, like, I'm pissed off for Jamie, you know.
Yeah.
Jamie's not a bad guy.
There are no winners in this scenario, really.
I kind of wonder
if maybe the scene, well, they altered it because, in part, because in the books, this is when Jamie finally gets back.
Yeah, he's not back. He's not even at the wedding in the books.
Yeah, he misses the wedding and all that stuff. And I also kind of wonder if maybe some of the stuff that Martin told Benioff and Weiss affected how they wrote.
Yeah,
maybe
how they planned this. But I don't know. It kind of didn't really come off the way that I assume they wanted it to.
No, not at all. But if you read the comments by the directors, they did not mean for it to come off as a rape. They meant for her to be consenting in the end, even though she was saying no, her pushing her hands against the top and arching and this kind of thing was her consent, which, I'm sorry, as a woman, awkward, creepy, rapey. No.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. And there was a really good think piece on AV Club about it and kind of how some of the choices that they've made not been great as far as the regards of like female characters, which is a shame because there's so many great female characters in the show.
Exactly.
Like, and they also go back to like Khal Drogo and Daenerys' relationship where he's raping her on the show, but it's, and it's still kind of creepy on, in the books because she's underage, but she kind of gives some degree of consent in the book. I mean,
right.
It's still wrong.
And
but,
I think, yeah, there are enough rapes and undertones of rape in the, in that era, in that story anyway, that why add ones that weren't there to begin with? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, that, very, very important point. Yeah. And it, unfortunately, like, because the rest of the episode was really good. I dug it. I mean, the end with Daenerys at the gates of Meereen, that was so badass.
Oh, that was amazing.
Emilia Clarke, and like, she does such a great job with like all of this made up language and making it sound like so badass.
Oh, totally.
Like, like being able to pull that off, like just seeing like all the guys, like all the slave owners of Meereen, like going, uh oh.
Well, and not, and then the barrels that they threw over were full of slave collars. That was genius. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was amazing.
The,
show,
the episode, it's like, no, I want to see what happens next. Come on. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
She's awesome in this season. And I'm glad the dragons
look good. What about go ahead, Rob.
I was just saying, I'm glad the dragons actually look good.
Yeah, they do.
She's been awesome.
CG has been pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think that, how do you think things are going to work out with Sansa and Littlefinger?
Not good, probably.
Yeah, Baelish seems to be sounding more and more like Bane as the show goes on.
Yeah.
Like, I guess because he did have that cameo in Dark Knight Rises, but like, the more I hear him talk, especially like kind of listening in the bonus features from season 3 Blu-ray, he seems to be kind of picking up a, like a Bane-esque speech pattern. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but
he's so good as Littlefinger. Like, he's the perfect Littlefinger, I think.
Yeah, he's such a bastard.
At least he has been so far. But I know what you. Yeah, I know what you mean. He's getting that Sansa, be quiet. Sansa. All right, there you go.
Yeah, it was weird when
the people.
Yeah, I was surprised to see him again because it'd been a while since we've seen him. In any kind of real capacity. So I was like, oh, yeah. That makes sense that he would be involved somehow. But
it seems like maybe, I haven't read the books, but it seems like they're going to be meeting up with Arya because they're going to the same place.
Yeah.
Because Baelish is going to the Vale to try and
Lysa.
Lysa Tully, or Lysa Arryn now, but yeah, trying to make an alliance with them, and Arya and the Hound are trying to get there because, as far as they know, that she's the only living relative that they have left.
Yep.
Don't you love the scenes with Arya and the Hound? Oh, like the fights, aren't they fantastic?
I love it.
Arya's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I love when she
You seem like maybe saw a little bit more of Macy Williams in this episode, but yeah, like you seem kind of more of little psychopath Arya with the mirror
now she's got her needle.
Yeah, where she just reenacts the moment where Polliver killed her friend.
Oh, yeah.
And that was stone cold. That was crazy.
Well, she is. She's a serious little hard ass. You know, she's not interested in being screwed around. She wants what she wants. She's going to get it. So that seems to be the way that the men do it. So she's never understood why that rule doesn't apply to her as well. And that's interesting that she has that in common with Cersei. You know, in the book, they talk about how Cersei didn't understand why Jaime was allowed to be the ruler and stuff, and why he was allowed to have all these adventures and she wasn't. So it's interesting that those two characters have that in common when they're so different, you know?
I also like kind of just a random side tangent. I'm also wondering what if there's anything to deal with the that boy in the village that Ygritte and Giantsbane they raided and like they left the kid alive to send him to Castle Black.
Yeah, because like, he looks right at her.
Yeah, you see, like they have the POV shot of her, and you have to like, is he going to be like Westeros Batman now?
Yeah, is something coming down the road for him and her? Yeah.
It seemed like there was a little bit of emphasis. I don't know if he's like some from the books, or
I don't know,
or it could be nothing. Who knows?
But yeah, that's true.
So, what do you guys think of Oberon Martell or Oberon of Dorne? Oberon Martell.
He's interesting. He's it's like I've heard he's like a fan favorite. He's hasn't really had a huge impact yet, but I imagine he's going to be a wild card going forward. Like, you know, even the scenes with the scene where he and what's her face? I don't remember, like his lady love and Tywin and Cersei, where he's like saying, like, you know, it's some people regard the rape and murder of children and women disgraceful, like right in front of Tywin, like son of a bitch, like it's soap opera, but like so well done, and like you just kind of want Cersei and that other woman to just like fight each other in a fountain, like a like in Dynasty or something. Like it's,
I know,
it's a so soapy but great. I was having a fun time with that, but yeah. And we're only on episode 3, so it's the second half of the book, and that second half is when all the stuff comes to a head, and I'm really on board with this season. I'm having a really good time.
Yeah, well, you know, any man who likes to conduct his business in a brothel, my kind of guy, right? I mean, but you know, but he, you know, he's I like him. He's fun. He's gonna be fun. And who else did I want to know? What do you think about the change of the dear Dario Naharis?
I don't like it.
You don't like the new Dario?
No, I don't
like him. I think he's good.
You know, the other guy was smarmier.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll just take a little time to get used to him. That's all.
He's
could you
fine.
See the? Go ahead, Ron.
I was just gonna say, he's fine, but like, I was kind of wondering why they didn't even at least make him try to resemble the other guy a little bit.
Yeah.
And just and like they had to name drop him just to make sure everyone knew that's who he was. Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you today, Dario Naharis? I am fine. Are you having eggs, Dario Naharis? Well, yes, I am. Thank you for asking.
The other like, guy
are
just.
Are you going to the movie tonight, Dario Naharis? Yes, going to the movie.
This
thanks
is this
for
guy.
Asking.
He looks different.
Yeah, the other guy just had a smarmier kind of up to no good look, and I feel like this guy is more polished looking.
Well, he's from Nashville, which is really hard for me because I know him from Nashville. So to see him in this completely different role, you know, he's like a sexy country producer guy in Nashville. And I know him.
Yeah, I know him from Treme. And he was like, if you've seen the movie Once, he's like, you know, the guy in the movie Once, if he were a total douche.
Yeah.
That's his character on Treme, pretty much.
Oh, no. Well, and Dario Naharis in the book is quite extravagant. Like, he has mustachios and his hair
he's
is
like purple hair or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, purple hair and blue mustachio. And, like, he's got a gold tooth and this kind of thing. And so.
Yeah, I don't think that would work on TV, though. I don't think it would either.
But at least the other guy was at least a little bit.
He really stood out. Just his look and everything about him.
Yeah, I think
stood
that's
out.
What it is. He's a little too plain looking now.
He doesn't stand out from anybody else at all. He kind of just looks like everybody else who's there.
He's very American for a desert city. I'm just saying.
considering they're supposed to be
in the middle of this, you know, place, he should be darker and, you know.
But I think he's done a fine job acting.
It seems like Essos is kind of like the Middle East. Or like Asia, kind of.
Yeah, it seems like it. Yeah.
And he's also not the first actor to be replaced because they have a new Tommen.
Oh, Tommen's like 5 years older.
And he was also the one of the Lannister like squires from last season who got killed by Karstark.
Oh, see. Funny.
Yeah, they just replaced the actor because I guess now because he's king, he's got a bigger role.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've had like three guys who played the Mountain too. So,
but I wonder how that's going to change the story though, because Tommen is like 8 years old in the book.
He's still pretty young on the show though.
Yeah, and to be fair, everybody else on the show is aged at least a couple years.
Yeah, those are things you just have to deal with on. A show as opposed to a book. I mean, it's just, you can't stop.
Well, it may impact the story coming down the line. I won't say any more about that. But I just don't, it's just an interesting change that they made that change. So we'll see how it impacts.
Yeah. I mean, they played him young enough where he obviously didn't know anything about sex yet. So,
oh, yeah, the Tywin scene, that was great.
Yeah, so apparently he's naive enough where he doesn't know anything, so.
Can you believe Tywin, like, over top of Joffrey's body? Remember, what's the most important thing? Listen to your grandfather.
Charles Dance is so amazing in this show.
Oh, like, yeah.
He just, like, no wonder he's the guy who's really in control. Like, he's just commands every scene he's in.
Yeah, he's for so a while, cold. I thought maybe, like, I'm like, oh, maybe Tywin just got tired of Joffrey and just offed him. I was just like, maybe he was just like, I've had enough of this. He's not helping my cause. Goodbye.
Yeah.
The thing with the, correct me if I'm wrong, but my friend who read the books says that they don't, like, she still doesn't know who killed, Joffrey. So I'm wondering if,
sorry, well, that you were breaking up.
Sorry. No, well, I mean, did they not reveal in the books who actually killed Joffrey? Because I feel like if you leave that open in the show, people are going to be pissed off because they're going to want to know.
Yeah.
I feel like I know who did it. Yes. I know who did it.
But they don't explicitly say who did it.
I honestly, they're so long, and this book particularly, it droned. I believe they are quite clear about who does it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's not a direct outright, but it's pretty clear.
Yeah. Yeah. You basically know without.
Yeah. Knowing. Being told.
Even if the characters in the show don't necessarily know.
Yeah. Do you guys have any idea who you think it might be? Not spoilers, because you don't know.
I do. Well, one thing that. A couple of people, like, I talked with some friends, and we thought that perhaps the poison was, like, in the gems in Sansa's necklace.
Oh yeah,
and it was somehow like crushed up and.
But obviously, she didn't do it, because then she said,
"No, it wasn't her." Like, but like they used her to smuggle in the necklace.
Obviously, Littlefinger's involved somehow.
Who he's
involved with? I wouldn't be surprised if it was the old lady.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Just so she can get like.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no shortage of suspects.
No, there's a lot of suspects. Yeah. There's a lot of suspects.
Tyrion is the only, like, Tyrion and Cersei are the only ones who are straight out.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's not Tyrion.
As Tyrion says, like, It's a rare thing for among King's Landing's murders that Cersei didn't have a hand in it.
Yeah.
I think even Sansa's pretty clear.
Yeah, I don't think she did.
I would think so.
Just from her reaction to everything when she got to Littlefinger's boat and all that. You know?
Yeah, so, it wouldn't stop Cersei from prosecuting her if she got her
cut. Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, I still wouldn't put it past. I don't know. Who else was at that friggin' table? I mean,
we've got Tywin.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it past him either. I mean, but it
really
doesn't
could have been anyone.
I think he would have been a little more discreet about it.
Yeah. Well, I hope we find out soon.
Yeah. Definitely.
Mikey left us some feedback about Game of Thrones. He says he is loving it. He loved the purple wedding. I'd like to see more of the other characters, though. It's been very Lannister-y.
Yeah, definitely so far.
Loving Arrow, the storyline that has been going on for two seasons is coming to a head, and it's great. How I Met Your Mother finale shit the bed. Agreed. And that's pretty much what I'm watching besides playoff hockey, which the Canucks won't win. Wah, wah, wah. So, oh, he didn't say that. That was just me. So there you go. Thank you, Mikey. I am really excited to see what happens next. And I'm really excited to read the next book. Like, come on. Especially where they left things. I would like to really get going on that. Thank you. But there's a lot of stuff they're going to have to figure out, you know? There's just a lot of stuff. And the thing for me I don't understand is that, of course, you start with this one family, right? And then the head gets chopped off. So you're like, okay, well, it's not his story. So whose story is it? and then you move over. Okay, well, maybe it's this person's story. Maybe it's Tyrion's story. You know, you don't. Who knows?
And it's really so many different stories, but just the different viewpoints are, you know, they're the main character in their own story, really.
Well, that's the thing, though. How do you wrap that up in a way puts a bow on it and it makes everybody happy?
Yeah.
How do you do that? I don't know how he's going to do that. Maybe he doesn't either, and that's why he hasn't done it.
Yeah, where each season gets bigger and bigger, and you introduce these new factions, and like, at what point do you stop adding factions and begin to wrap up what you started?
There needs to be some kind of ending. That's the thing.
Definitely.
Like, how do you get to that point? I mean, the most obvious kind of ending would be, you know, uniting the kingdoms or whatever. But who do you go with? Who becomes the most prominent one at that point? Is there an alliance of sorts where it's a couple of the factions, or, you know, ones we haven't
met yet? Marcella becomes Queen of Dorne, and she marries her brother Tommen. No.
Yeah, there's just so much, you know. I just don't see how the show is not going to overtake the books at this point.
Well, what'll probably end up happening is the guys that are writing the shows will end up writing the books, and the books will get released right before the shows do. Or in sequence, like at the same time.
I mean, I just don't see how it's not going to, because I don't foresee HBO slowing down on production in any way.
No way. They're not going to halt this gravy train.
No, I mean, it's, you know.
Especially considering Hodor can't lift Bran anymore, and Bran's going to be like 8 feet
He'll be like 30. Yeah.
I'm in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Hodor.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You got to age those people on the show. That's the tough part. But,
yeah. It's like with The Walking Dead, they were saying to Glenn Mazzara, what are you going to do if Carl grows over the summer? And he said, well, you'll just have to forgive us. What are you going to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, that's just something you have to deal with in shows. And you got to have different time frames than whatever the source material may be.
Right. Well, we learned that with Walt, didn't we?
Yeah, except they did it poorly.
Walt!
Just forgetting him and just forgetting him and eliminating him off the show is not the way to do it.
No, you mean wrapping his storyline up in a flashback that's only available via DVD or YouTube is not adequate enough.
No, no,
you were a demanding television.
They made a lot of mistakes there.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Okay, Michael David, it is time for you to go to bed.
Yep.
So. Because I'm your mom now. I'm going to tell you all where you can find us. Oh, Matt, please, pimp yourself.
I'm sorry, you kind of chipped in. I guess you want me to plug stuff?
Pimp yourself, yes.
Pimp.
All right, yeah, you can follow me at Matt Loves TV. You can friend me on Facebook. You can listen to my sporadically released movie podcast called Movie Snobbery 2 on iTunes. You can check out my blog at mattlovespop.blogspot.com. You can read, I posted full reviews of the Grand Budapest Hotel and Captain America. Hopefully I'll get some stuff, maybe some stuff that I haven't posted for whatever reason. And I guess that's it.
Well, you are more than welcome to post a link to all of those things in our Facebook group whenever you update your blog. So please do that.
Definitely.
Please do that. And thank you so much for joining us again. It's a pleasure to have spoken with you this evening.
Yeah, it was a blast. Definitely looking forward to coming back someday.
Yep, soon. Please do. Okay, and you all can find us at chatter at chatterboxpodcast.com. Send us your comments. Oh, how nerdist of me. Your questions, your comments, send them there. You can find us on the website at chat. What did you say? What?
Your comments.
At chatterboxpodcast.com. You can find me on the Twitter, which I'm very rarely there anymore. I'm sorry. I miss you. I miss you all at August 95.
I'm Ren Mike D. I'm actually there at times.
Rob Venger.
He's never there.
Once in a while. Never there.
And Matt?
Matt Loves TV.
I love TV. Thank you, everybody. And we hope to see you sooner than a month from now.
See you soon.
3 weeks.
Bye. Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.